on his door with a tape measure and an idea for an electric prosthesis. They had shared a tent in the dusty lunar gorges of Palestine while she was disguised as a man. But there would be no more charades or mutterings from his mother about scandal or imagined impropriety. Now they could finally be together. A thrill laced through her breast at the thought of such liberty. "Incoming!" she called, as a steamer chugged down the lane, slowing to a stop a few yards away. Ilion stepped out of the way, his eyes trailing to the black-haired woman in the driver's seat, and beside her, his butler clambering out the door. Patrick burst from the cab, sputtering apologies and half-formed phrases. "Pat, slow down. I can't understand a word you're saying," Ilion said as he joined him at the steamer's hood. Taking a deep breath, Patrick pushed his glasses up his nose and collected his thoughts.
"Sorry, sir. She's willing to take you and Lady Dorset up to Brasshurst Hall. I'll stay behind and wait for the mechanic."
The woman with the full features of a Caravaggian saint climbed out of her cab, her voluminous skirts rustling with each step. Her dark eyes ran between the young man with the wayward hair to the woman in the stained dress at his side.
"Sorry to intrude, but your valet said you were headed for Folkesbury.
I am headed that way now, if you would care to join me."
"That is very kind of you, Miss—"
"Mrs. Rhodes," she replied, walking back towards her steamer, while the butler dithered between the trunks and bicycles tethered to the back of the hissing steamer. Ilion held the passenger door open for Hadley to slide in.
"I hope we aren't inconveniencing you."
"Not at all. I was heading back home. Brasshurst Hall is on the way."
A pang of guilt rang in the pit of Ilion's stomach as he watched Patrick grow smaller behind them.
"I was surprised to hear you were headed for Brasshurst. No one has been up there in ages. I almost didn't believe Argus, my husband, when he told me the Earl's servants were coming up from London to clean the house. Are you his guests?"
Hadley's lips twitched into a grin, and she shot her husband a knowing look.
"He is the Earl."
"Oh!"
Mrs. Rhodes' eyes left the road long enough to search the nobleman's face for any sign of offence, while her own cheeks burned.
"I beg your pardon, Lord and Lady Dorset. I was expecting someone older."
"No harm done, Mrs. Rhodes. You are probably thinking of my father. I have only been the Earl for a few months, and I—"
"Is that the house?"
Over the tops of the closely clumped elms and oaks, the spire of a tower rose. As they cut through the brush, Ilion's eyes widened. Knowing his father, he had expected a conservative Georgian brick manor with a square roof and a smooth face, but the house was like none he had ever seen. Brasshurst Hall was an asymmetrical monster. It had a Gothic portal and face on the front, a Palladian annex shooting off the side, complete with columns and pediments. Straining his eyes, he could make out the latticed windows of a sultan's harem floating above another layer of cathedral spires and pointed arches. The weathered grey-brown cloister stone was half-covered with ivy and wisteria. Following the gravel drive across an old stone bridge, the orangery appeared. The greenhouse's glass and metal bows swallowed hard, looking between her passengers.
"I do hope you will call on us while you are in Folkesbury, Lady Dorset. My cousin is staying with us, and he has been eagerly awaiting your arrival. He lives in London, too, near Bloomsbury. You may have heard of him? Nadir Talbot, the novelist."
"Yes, I think my brother read his last book, the one about Cleopatra. He enjoyed it very much."
When the woman's eyes lit up, Hadley continued,
"Thank you so much for giving us a lift, Mrs. Rhodes. I will most certainly pay you a visit once we are settled."
Watching the steamer roll away, Hadley sighed as the grin fell from her cheeks. She would have to pay calls in a few days, drifting from house to house, pretending she was the Countess of Dorset, and not Hadley Fennis of Fennis Brothers Prosthetics. It was hard enough to pretend she was an aristocrat for a few hours at their wedding. How was she supposed to keep it up the entire time they were in Dorset? At least her etiquette books were packed in her trunk, and Folkesbury seemed like a small town. Maybe no one would notice that she wasn't a born aristocrat. Ilion's metal hand pressed against her palm.
"So, what do you make of it?"
"It's different," Hadley replied, her gaze running over the bright blue brace and ledge door set into the deep rings of the Gothic facade.
"I'm beginning to wonder if insanity runs in my family."
Ilion opened the door and turned to her with open arms.
"Well, shall we?"
"You're going to pick me up? Are you sure you can carry me?"
"I have before,"